Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, along with Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football, and we start today with the
Packers news of the day.
Packers lose to the New Orleans Saints on Sunday Night Football, 44-23. We are your therapy this morning on a Monday morning. It was not a good showing. Packers come into the game on a four-game winning streak. They're hot, one of the hottest teams in the NFL. Unfortunately, they lose to a team that's hot at home, hot at the Superdome. Winners of 13 straight home games in primetime, 19 straight home games total. Drew Brees looks like the Drew Brees you basically come to expect. It was not a good showing for the Packers as they looked like a team exposed last night, which is unfortunate. I mean, by no means is the season over here. Packers are now 5-3 on the season, entering the bye week, and perhaps you could argue that this bye week comes at the perfect time. We'll get into that a little bit later. But yeah, Drew Brees definitely exposed this Packers defense last night, and Packers have some work to do. Perhaps this is a good thing in that maybe, you know, after winners of four straight, pretty much a month without a loss, the Packers maybe get off their high horse. Not that they were really cocky by any means, but, it gets them back to focus on what they need to do, what's important. There's so many things to work on after this game that the Packers have plenty in front of them to work on during this bye weekend for the rest of the season, for that matter. If you want to call into the show, I have the phone lines open, 347-903-5994. If you want to talk, you want to vent a little bit about this Packers team, feel free to call in. No guest on the show today, just getting me. So you're getting some hard-hitting Packers analysis. So let's get to it. The offense, the first half of the game looked good. It was a back and forth game for pretty much the whole first half. I mean, you would say it was basically, you know, just back and forth, one score right after another, whether it was touchdowns, whether it was field goals. One team scores, the next team answers it. And it was usually the Packers scoring first, and the Saints having to come back and meet every score. And they go into halftime tied 16-16. You know, you sit there at halftime and you're like, well, it's a 0-0 game. There was just nothing separating the two teams. A lot of offense, not a lot of defense. But things started to fall apart in the second half. But before we get to that, I mean, a few things that, you know, caught my attention and I wasn't exactly happy about. The level of what seemed to be almost desperation by the Packers in the first half. And that, you know, the trick play to Julius Peppers and then the onside kick. And let me say this, I wasn't really so mad about the onside kick. I understand Packers have done that before, and when they come as a surprise, they're certainly a lot easier to corral, to catch a team sleeping, catch them off guard, and then, you know, recover the onside kick. But I have to say that play to Julius Peppers, they line him up in the backfield originally. He motions out, lines up out wide, and they throw him the football. And, there was a lot made in the aftermath of, I think it was the Vikings game, wasn't it? Where Julius Peppers had the pick six and you're like, wow, this guy looks like an athlete. And I think Aaron Rodgers noted himself that Julius Peppers looked like a tight end. And then they throw him the football and it just was like Julius Peppers just looked uncomfortable. He wasn't ready for that throw to come that fast from Aaron Rodgers. And it showed. And what I can't believe is that the Packers, you know, ran that play in practice and they couldn't see how uncomfortable Julius Peppers looked. And I don't know, was it the bright lights of primetime football in a packed stadium. But the guy is, you know, how 34 years old, right? I mean, you know, had it been young, you know, earlier in Julius Peppers' career, and you play him on offense a little bit here and there, I mean, fine. But I mean, he looked like a guy that's played defense his entire life. I mean, he didn't look comfortable. So I really have to, you know, pick some nits with the Packers coaching staff to run that play. You know, what did you see at practice all week out of that? I mean, Julius Peppers just didn't look comfortable at all, you know, running that play. So the Packers squander a red zone opportunity, have to settle for a field goal. I mean, that right there, you know, it just didn't make sense to me. You've got all these offensive weapons, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams. I mean, even get your tight ends involved. Just using Julius Peppers did not make sense to me. That was one of the more disappointing aspects of the game. Not that there weren't plenty more later on, particularly on the defensive side of the football. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers was just on fire the first half of the game. I had the stats at halftime, shared them on Twitter, and I forget the exact to the decimal point what it was, but he was averaging over 15 yards per pass in the first half. I mean, Packers' run game wasn't going anywhere the first half. Well, it didn't have to go anywhere. They were just picking apart the Saints, 15 yards per attempt. I mean, that is incredible. That is off the charts kind of production that you just don't see in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers just lethal, just a surgeon the first half of the game. And of course, you know, one of the stories coming out of this game is the Aaron Rodgers injury and what happened there to Rodgers in the second half. You see him kind of pull up lame on a little scramble in which he ran out of bounds near the right sideline. You know, again, getting the Packers in scoring territory, squandering another red zone opportunity, which they had to settle for a field goal. But, you know, the larger point being, Aaron Rodgers kind of pulls a hamstring, tweaks it, whatever you want to say, and just affects the tenor of the rest of the game. He doesn't seem to be himself the rest of the way. He doesn't have that escapability in the pocket, which is, you know, one of his huge advantages, that, you know, he does such a good job eluding pressure. Not that he's really fast by any means, but he knows how to feel pressure and he just knows how to step to the right areas, kind of has that sixth sense to kind of step in the right direction to get away from it and just buy him that extra second to find the open receiver. I mean, that's what makes Aaron Rodgers such a good quarterback. And that was gone then in the second half, mostly. I mean, yeah, he was out there and he got kind of gutted through it, but just wasn't the same player. And you know, I think even though, you know, it wasn't like this terrible, terrible hamstring where he couldn't even play. But, I mean, I think if you're that limited, you almost have to go with Matt Flynn or your backup quarterback just because, I mean, having an immobile quarterback sit there that can elude pressure, I don't know how much that helps the team, if at all. You know, that I think that's why you have Matt Flynn. You want to have him, you have him because you think he can get you through a game. And I don't know. It's just, Rodgers felt he could gut through it. In fact, by the way, here, have comments from Aaron Rodgers on his injury, on the game from last night. I think people today are wondering, how severe is this hamstring injury? Well, here, Aaron Rodgers addressed it in the press conference from last evening.
Yeah, I'm not going to miss any time.
You didn't miss any time tonight. Should you have, or what was your thought process on the sideline after that happened?
It was just not really any any options. It was continue playing, and as long as I could hold up, I felt like I could, and was able to run one in there somehow. But yeah, you know, if it would have been real detrimental to my health for the season, I probably would have told coach to take me out. But I felt like I could still go. Well, I mean, if I felt it, then I had to back off a little bit. But, you know, we had to do a little bit more in the shotgun. But it wasn't a big deal.
So there you go. There's from Aaron Rodgers. Sorry, it's kind of hard to hear the questions from the press conference, but you could hear Aaron Rodgers' responses just fine, I think, and saying, you know, he was able to play through it. You know, it wasn't so bad that he had to be taken out of the game, which you know, for the long-term impact here, makes you think that this isn't going to be something that lingers all season. And, of course, yeah, you do have to be careful with hamstring injuries. But, you know, also, I think that this bye week certainly is coming at the right time, isn't it? It feels like the Packers, since the season has started, since the regular season has started, they've avoided the major injuries to major players. But you know, they kind of dodge a couple bullets with Brian Bulaga and a few others along the way that have missed a game or two. But it seems like all these guys are missing, you know, one game or limited or whatever. I mean, isn't it great that Aaron Rodgers now gets a week off, and not just Aaron Rodgers, but TJ Lang. And then you talk about the guys who missed this game, Sam Shields, Morgan Burnett, Dayton Jones. And then the guys who just are out there playing, but they don't seem back to 100%, Jarrett Boykin, Jamari Lattimore, James Starks. I mean, this is a perfect time for a bye week, in that all these guys just seem like, boy, they could use this week, and the Packers could get back to where they need to be for the stretch run of the season. But, you know, getting back here, the offense, it just looks so limited when Aaron Rodgers could just, he said, you know, they had to go to the shotgun because he couldn't really get out from under center fast enough, or you know, he kind of looked awkward in the handful of times they did try to put him under center, and you know, ends up handing the ball off, and just, you know, limited by that hamstring, not really mobile enough. And so they had to necessarily run a lot of shotgun, which you don't want to have to, you know, rely on exclusively. But that's where the Packers were when they tried to gut through the game with Aaron Rodgers and couldn't put together that second half comeback. The offense breaks down with those turnovers in the second half. It won on downs when they tried the fourth and one, and then two interceptions, both off deflections. Are they Aaron Rodgers' fault? To an extent, but also just kind of unlucky, I think. You know, the one in the end zone to Andrew Corliss was the killer, because, I mean, for one, it could have been a touchdown. I kind of felt like myself, the throw was a little high. I felt that the throw should have been lower by Rodgers to make Corliss go down for it. You know, when the throw's into the ground practically, then it's not going to be deflected. It's not going to bounce up when you're throwing it into the dirt and a player's got to go to his knees to catch it. I felt that's what should have happened that play. Then the one goes off Davante Adams' hands, or one hand. Unlucky bounce, I think, up in the air there. But the fourth and one was definitely a discouraging play as well, because if I remember correctly, that was set up by the completion to Davante Adams, which was originally ruled a first down, but it's replayed by the Saints, ends up being short of the goal line, or, you know, the first down marker, and I think that's the right call, actually. I have no problem with that being reviewed or whatever and being short, but the Packers go for it, and you know, injuries affected more than just Aaron Rodgers. Right guard TJ Lang exits after what I believe was the first series of the game, and in comes Lane Taylor, basically getting his first, I believe, his first extended regular season playing time of his career. Not that he's played on special teams, he's maybe had a few snaps here and there, but I think this is really the first time Lane Taylor's ever played when the chips have, you know, been on the line and he's facing a first string defense, and really got a welcome to the NFL moment early, in which he was responsible for an Eddie Lacy 3-yard loss, like his first or second play of the game on offense. But then, of course, Lane Taylor getting blown up on the 4th-and-1 attempt, and just, you know, not looking like he belongs out there. And you know, I think a lot of people, you just, if you watch your Twitter feed during the game, you kind of follow along with your laptop in front of you like I do. I think everybody was saying, you know, why the heck are they running behind Lane Taylor? Like it was, that was, you know, right up right guard, the handoff there. And I mean, when you've got Josh Sitton, your all pro left guard, on the other side, or at least, you know, the more veteran options to run behind. Why are you running behind the guy who's gotten schooled earlier in the game and just as inexperienced and more liable to get blown up than any other player on the line, and ends up doing so? Unfortunate there for the Packers to have all those turnovers, whether they be interceptions or turnover on downs. But that's when the Saints started taking advantage. In the second half, the Saints and Drew Brees just picked on the Packers defense, and we'll analyze that here. And I can see where the discussion is going here on the live blog, and I think some good points are made. John asks, I hope Treader can play guard, and I understand where that's coming from. Because J.C. Treader is eligible to come off the injured reserve following the bye week. He's ready to return to play. And Jersey Al Bracco on the live blog responding, Treader not heavy enough now to play guard. And he's right. Anybody hoping that J.C. Treader can play guard, probably going to be disappointed. I just don't think that at this stage in J.C. Treader's development, he was preparing the whole season to play center, and probably hovering right over 300 pounds. If you want him to play guard, he's going to have to bulk up to 315, 320 to be, you know, a down-in, down-out guard in the NFL. And I'm not sure J.C. Treader's going to be that kind of guy. So I cross your fingers and just hope that this is not something major to TJ Lang. Good timing for the bye week. He's got 2 weeks here before the Packers' next game. That's a good thing. And hopefully he'll be ready to come back. But defensive side of the football, and this is where some of the, you know, the biggest mistakes were made on the defensive side of the ball. And I do think they were victims of circumstance to an extent, in that, Drew Brees was just out of his mind. If I have the final statistics here from how Drew Brees did on Sunday night, he completed 27 of 32 passes for 311 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, a passer rating of 138.4. Drew Brees was just able to get the football out of his hands so quickly. It's almost tough to find fault with anybody on the Packers defense on several plays. Certainly not every play, but it was just like, man, he got the football out so fast. It's not like the pass rush was doing a bad job. It's out of his hands in a second. And the secondary, I mean, what are you supposed to do? I mean, you're giving up these quick little 10-yard plays. I mean, they happen so quick. It's not like, you know, they're getting burned deep so many times. I mean, there were times when they got burned, certainly, but it just seemed like out of Drew Brees' 27 completions, it's like 20 of them were just these quick little outs and hitches and slants and just killing the Packers so quickly they don't even have time to respond to them. But, you know, I do think if we're going to find fault, I think the major faults were with the Packers' secondary. It's like Drew Brees picked on somebody almost, you know, he took his time picking on almost everyone. It's not like one player was at fault all night. It's like every player gave up this completion, and you know, the statistics are certainly not flattering to cornerback Tremon Williams. Went and took a look at Pro Football Focus this morning here. Tremon Williams, when throwing in his direction, when he was the responsibility for the coverage, Drew Brees completed 6 out of 6 passes for 102 yards and 2 interceptions to the side of the field, or, you know, to Tremon Williams' responsibility in coverage, which is a good for a passer rating of 158.3, which I believe might be the perfect passer rating. It was bad. Tremon Williams just unfortunately got picked on a few times. Of course, the deep touchdown to Brandon Cooks, that was like 50 yards. And then they went to Jimmy Graham with the jump ball in the end zone. You know, it was a rough night for Tremon Williams. And it's not like Devon House had a much better evening. Drew Brees completed 6 out of 8 passes in his direction for 77 yards in the direction of Devon House, including the long one to Kenny Stills to set up the Saints' first touchdown of the game. And what's even worse is that both players were at fault for several missed tackles, so their run support was not good either. And, you know, they weren't the only ones. I mean, Micah Hyde had his moments where he missed tackles and he was burned. Haha, Clint Dix had several missed tackles during the game. You know, everybody in the secondary was at fault for, at some point. And I do think that the loss of, you know, people can point to the loss of Morgan Burnett and say, well, you know, Micah Hyde didn't have a very good game. Morgan Burnett would have fared better, and that may be true. But I think the loss of Sam Shields really was maybe the biggest loss in this game for the Packers. They would have benefited more with Sam Shields out there, I think, because of his speed. You know, he's the fastest player on the Packers defense, the whole team for that matter, but fastest player in the he might have been the guy on the fast field turf of the Superdome that may have been able to stick with guys and prevent maybe these plays that happened so quick when Drew Brees was getting that football out of his hands. Sam Shields might have been the guy who had the requisite speed to you know, get his hands on a few or stick with some receivers or not get burned deep like Devon House did that big long play to Kenny Stills. I mean, it was a bad night for the Packers secondary, and I think they would have benefited from Sam Shields being out there as well as Morgan Burnett. And again, I mean, great timing for this bye week. Let's see these guys get healthy and get ready for the stretch run. Packers now at the midway point of the season, 8 games to go in the regular season. With the pass rush, I thought the pass rush was decent off the edges. I thought Julius Peppers and Clay Matthews both applied decent pressure, where I thought maybe there was a shortcoming in the pass rush was the interior pass rush not being able to collapse the pocket. I thought several times, I was like, Clay Matthews is getting there, but Brees was just able to step up in the pocket. You know, nobody was collapsing the pocket. Drew Brees just, you know, pressure from the outside. Oh, I'll just step up once or twice and fire away. Whereas it wasn't, you know, Mike Daniels applying pass rush pressure, or whoever was, you know, Mike Neal, Julius Peppers used several times as an interior pass rusher in that NASCAR package. But, it, you know, really, it was just that the ball came out of there so fast. I don't have a lot to nitpick about the pass rush other than that they couldn't collapse the pocket, you know, that evening. So on special teams, you know, good for the Packers. I mean, special teams wasn't much of a factor. Neither team punted, neither team. And I think I saw this correctly. That's only happened like three times in pro football history where neither team and during the course of a game has punted, and two of those instances have been with the Packers this season. So Tim Maste getting the night off, other than holding on field goals, you know, quite the odd circumstance. And again, I mean, a credit to the Packers offense that they're able to largely keep the chains moving and not have to punt. But it, you know, on the flip side of the coin, the Packers defense never forced a punt either. And that's got to start happening. So that's one of the negative aspects of the game. But I mean, in the Chips report published here at CheeseheadTV.com to our blog in the aftermath of the game, Mason Crosby comes away with a red chip, goes 3 for 3 on field goals for the night, along of 49 yards. You know, he's been a really, you know, nice player this season. Crosby improves to 11 of 12 and cracks the 90% barrier. You know, I think that's kind of the new standard for kickers in the NFL. Hitting over 90%. That's pretty much the top half of kickers in the league will hit connect on over 90% of their field goals, and Crosby's there now, hitting on 3 of 3 to improve to 11 of 12 on the season, hitting on his two extra points, and not allowing a single return yard in kickoffs. In 5 kickoffs, 4 of them were touchbacks. You know, great job by Mason Crosby. He was one of the bright spots, but just, you know, other than field goals, that there just wasn't the special teams wasn't much of a factor because all the kickoffs resulted in touchbacks. Same for the Saints. You know, the Packers didn't have a single kickoff return, and there were no punts at all. So it was almost like, it almost felt like a college football overtime, you know, where special teams is basically out of the mix, except for field goal attempts and extra points. So, but you know, kudos to Mason Crosby for coming away big time, in a match in which the Packers needed his help. So, coming up,
The day ahead,
you know, here on a Monday, the Packers press conference, Mike McCarthy's usual day after game press conference, happens all the time. Today happens at 4:15 p.m. Central Time, and I think people are kind of waiting for the fallout on these two major injuries, or semi-major injuries, to the Packers, waiting to see the full extent of them. Of course, the hamstring injury to Aaron Rodgers, and then the ankle to TJ Lang, which apparently he was observed wearing a boot, walking boot, after the game, if I heard that correctly. Or he was on crutches, maybe. That was it. Kind of waiting to see, you know, are these, you know, sometimes injuries have a way of, you don't even hear about them during the game, and then, you know, coming away, things are much worse than anticipated. But we'll learn during Mike McCarthy's press conference later Monday afternoon the fallout from these injuries, finding out their extent. Again, hoping that they're not going to be major. Especially, I don't think the injury to Rodgers, give him 2 weeks off here till the next game. I think he'll be okay. kind of waiting to see that TJ Lang's hopefully isn't more serious than anticipated, because if the Packers have to rely on Lane Taylor, they might be hurting a little bit at right guard unless they can do something else, whether that's putting J.C. Tretter at center and moving Corey Linsley to guard. I don't know. You're banking on a lot there for a rookie to learn a new position. if you have to rely on Corey Linsley playing guard, I don't know what the Packers would do if Lang were hurt, but maybe we shouldn't even speculate because we just have a few hours to wait if you're watching the live edition of the show, and we'll find out what happens to Lang later today. So that's what's up in the day ahead for the Green Bay Packers. Lots of Packers players shows today. I think I saw Sam Barrington as the guest on Packers Live with Larry McCarron, which airs on several affiliates throughout the state of Wisconsin. Devon House is going to have to face the music on the fifth quarter on WTAQ Radio in Green Bay later today. I believe Randall Cobb is the guest on Inside the Huddle on the Fox Green Bay affiliate in Wisconsin. So that's what's happening in the media today. And again, probably the last day for some Packers news for quite a while. I mean, the Packers going to take some time off here. You'll hear a little bit today on Monday. But the bye week for about a week or so, you're not going to hear a whole lot of Packers news because players are going to get the heck out of town. In fact, I think I heard an interview with Jordy Nelson. He said if the World Series came back to Kansas City, which is, you know, Jordy Nelson from Kansas, he was going to go take in the game, go see the Royals. And it's been extended to 6 games, Royals down 3 games to 2. Everybody can go look for Jordy Nelson in the audience tomorrow evening. You know, I don't know if that was just talk from him or whether he's actually going to do it, but being the bye week, he'll actually have some time to take it in if he wants to. But that'll do it for today's edition of the show. Thank you, everybody, so much for tuning in. Sorry that you had to listen to Packers news about a loss, but hopefully things will get better. Packers losing 44-23 on Sunday Night Football, but going into the bye week, things will get better from here. We'll see you, folks. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, Alex Talich, I'm Brian Kirvu. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for all your news needs all week long on our blog. We'll be back again Wednesday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we'll be joined as usual by Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com to break down this past game and looking forward to what's next. But we'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Golden Ghost by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.